old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Bobby Buck Show one more again. So now we're going to get it cracking with a topic, a real serious topic about mental illness. And I'm also wondering, mental illness, is it real or is it fake? Because, you know, they make a lot of money off those medications they prescribe to people. And then, you know, you got drugs in the street also. So, you know, people are being affected. So are people really mentally ill before they take these drugs? Or do they become mentally ill after these drugs? Or is mental illness really real at all? So before we get into this, I want to let my panel here give a word about who they are and what they got going on. So first, right over here across from me.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Hill. I am a wellness coach for Soul Purpose, which is an all-natural. I am a wellness coach for Soul Purpose, a natural organic skincare company, and Youngevity, a supplement and mineral company. And my expertise is stress. I'm a member of the American Institute of Stress, and I'm also working on a certification in reflexology. My purpose for being here is to talk about mental health on a cellular level.
All right. Next.
Greetings, peace, and love. My name is Tasha Alsett. I am a spoken word artist and a community activist. I am also the designer of some earrings called Mars to Africa. And I'm also the co-host of the Superforce radio show that will be joining Skid Row Radio next month.
Whoa.
And I'm also a licensed vocational nurse.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, all right. Who we got next to you?
Yeah. Peace and love, peace and love. It's Eddie Lamond. I'm the founder and CEO of Superforce Radio, which will be here airing at skidrow.com very soon.
Right.
I'm also the CEO and founder of Eddie Lamond Sports, which is a urban designer company. We specialize in goggles and things like that, and racing glasses, racing apparel. For the urbanites out there in the world. But basically, I'm here today to, help address this situation as far as mental health, you know. I think you rose a great, you put a great point on the table as far as, is it a myth?
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So let's get to the bottom of that. Peace and love.
Okay, next. You.
Greetings, family and listeners. My name is Hannah Carter. I'm an activist of... And I've been around for like 50-something years in the community, and I have founder and CEO of the Institute of Fine Embroidery Arts, IFBA, the practice of alternative hair care practices. And I'm here to address the mental illness in relation to our hair care practices. I think what we do with our hair has a profound effect on our mental. And I think I can share some information in relation to some of our concerns, health concerns.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And also, we're here waiting on my co-host to be here, Ms. Shauna Sterling, who's also working with creating her bully campaign, which is a bully campaign for youth. So she's looking for 12 youth that she's going to be working with. And she's going to do a workshop and fashion show, where she's going to do a recycled fashion show to where the kids could be like their new them. Mm. So they got new clothes so they can turn them old selves into new people. Mm. So it'll be called Bully Me Now.
Like,
yeah, so
beautiful.
She should be here shortly. So y'all
okay.
Yeah. So all right, so we're going to just put it out there on the table. So who wants to go first with this mental illness thing we got going on? So who'd like to put their hands up first?
Put your hands up.
All right.
Well, yes. I'm going to share something that I've been studying for about 10 years. Okay. And it is dealing with something they call, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Dealing with something that is scientifically proven called peptides and receptors. Mm-hmm. And that's the science that was developed by Dr. Candace Pert. She's unfortunately recently passed, but what she was able to discover in 1972 are the opiate receptors that are naturally produced in every cell in our body. We have over 75 trillion cells from our head to the bottom of our feet. And what she was able to discover is that the opiate receptors have matching keys, if you will, that lock into the body based upon how we're feeling emotionally. And what she did with that science is she's been working very heavily with people who are addicted to various drugs and alcohol to teach them how to understand how their body at that level and what they can do to correct that problem, because it can't be corrected if you change your thoughts. But that was one of the things that I wanted to share, because that will help with what we're going to talk about concerning the incident that happened on Sunday.
Well, that's kind of interesting, you're talking about changing your thoughts, because like with me, I tell people I'm an ex-alcoholic. And, I don't knock anything, I don't knock nobody's religion or whatever they go through. I respect everything. But like with the AA, that's not for me, because you keep saying the same thing. You keep calling yourself the illness over and over and over again. And so with my thought process, I kept saying X, and they kept looking at me like, you're throwing a monkey wrench in what we're doing. So I just had to let it go. So I took it as like a divine thing that happened with me when it happened. And I just counted myself toward being positive no matter what it was. I mean, when I was homeless, what I was going through, positive. I just kept on doing that. So I didn't tell people, whether you don't believe in God or do believe in God, just try to stay positive. Mm-hmm. You know, because some people, the word God runs them off.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because with a lot of people that's out there homeless and, like, you know, gang-banging and stuff, they do believe in God or a God, but it's the people that run them away. So that's what I'm going to say on that. And speaking of, like, you know, this incident that happened this past week today, the gentleman named Africa who got killed, gunned down, or what we're saying in the Skid Row is he got murdered.
Executed?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unarmed.
Right.
And, you know, the videos, I think, I haven't counted no more since maybe 3 or 4 days ago, but last I counted was like 30 million views. So you got a lot of views on that incident that happened. And like I say, you know, it was just real tragic that stuff can just happen and they walk away.
And you see what they're doing. They're talking about his character. They're talking about things that this person had done in the past that may affect him. But, I mean, they didn't know that when they shot the brother.
Right.
You know, so it's like they're trying to make an excuse, you know, and defame his character right now. You know, we all fall apart upon hard times, and I'm pretty sure, you know, the brother, he was very intellectual, smart brother, yeah. You know, and he fell upon hard times, and he ended up on Skid Row, you know, but, I mean, they're playing God right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing God, you know, and that's not in a positive light that they're doing it. They're just being notorious with these killings, and it must cease.
Yeah, definitely. They're playing a role, if I must add to it, getting back to mental illness. You know, you said something brilliant as far as being an ex-alcoholic or whatever, however you want to call it, ex-alcoholic or whatever.
Right.
You know, in order to be diagnosed with something, right, you have to own up to it and live up to it. So they have all of these titles, you know, whether you're schizophrenic or whatever it is they say that you're suffering from. And the moment you say, I do, right? That's when all the labels and the medicine start to come into play. Now, getting to the medicine is a horrible thing because it's all petroleum-based. And we all know that petroleum is toxic to the body. And these are the remnants of what the oil industry is producing. And so knowing all that information, I deal with a life coach, right, down over on Stockett Avenue. And he's a brilliant man. His name is Dr. Walker.
Okay.
And on one side of the building, he's talking about not owning up to the labels that the other side labels you with in order to administer medication to you. So when you say, is mental illness fake or is it false? Depending on the severity of the brain, yes, I would have to say so, because I'm actually sitting in these classes and this man is actually talking you out of what you think you're suffering from by saying, pay attention to yourself, take a deep breath, don't get off the playing field. And if you do get off the playing field, this is what you need to expect. And so when we say the playing field, we're just talking about the aspects of life, because life is not a straight line. It involves hills and valleys, right?
Right.
So we need to expect to get physical in this thing called life. And so just adding on to what you're saying as far as mental illness is concerned, it's a huge gimmick to fatten the pockets for, let's say, the pharmaceutical industry, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because I just made a joke in there. I make the joke a lot. I'm talking about the weather, how it'd be hot and cold, hot and cold.
Right.
And I said, the weather is bipolar. You know?
Right.
Because I said, the weather can't. So the weather needs to go see a shrink because of the attitude that the weather's putting out. So then I always say, like, with life. So in a way, life is bipolar, and us as people got to learn how to cope with it.
Right.
So that's why, because we got to have them ups and downs.
Right.
And so about coping with what happens to you is the way. And like you said, talking you out of it. Everyone said the mind is something else. That's why, you know, because I'm here. So I've been here in LA for 7 years. I've been learning a whole lot more about myself and at the same time, other people. And like, you know, sometimes like I tell people, I brainwashed myself at the end of the year to prepare for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, in myself, I said, I want to be different and better than I was the next year. And I keep on going over and over and over and over.
Right.
And then by the time I realize that I am different and better than I was. So I play with myself in my mind sometimes. So
right.
It's like, you know, so I don't know if that's mental illness or just some mental realness.
Mental realness. I like, that's what it is. It's mental realness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, speaking on the mental illness, a lot of it is caused by stress, trauma, or hormonal imbalance.
Okay.
You know, so we have to look at it. There's me and him, we talk about it all the time. You know, he says that it's made up. I say, well, there are people that are born like that.
Right.
You know, due to the parents that brought them in this world, you know, they could have been abusing something or under traumatic stress that affect the fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out, you know, and they go through these issues and they realize they have problems. I know many people that I've been brought up around, and, you know, they're always like, it's something different about that person. And you could just feel something. You know, right. I had to help a lot of people, like, you know, maybe you need to get this checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to me and was like, thank you so much, because I wouldn't have known I had schizophrenia if it wasn't for you, you know, bringing it to my attention.
Right, right.
You know, if someone's with you and they keep saying, there's a van that's riding with people in the car and they keep staring at me. You know, I mean, you have to address that. You just can't let that go. And you look and there's no one there, and you have to say, hey,
yeah,
what are you talking about? You have to ask questions. So those type of people, they really need help.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And I see it. Like I said, I was in the shelter one time. When I seen him, I was in the same place with this gentleman, and I see him outside and everything. I mean, one day I was walking through the red line.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like I seen him actually going through that transition. Because he was talking, because I think he said he's from, I'm from Arkansas. He's from Memphis or something like that. And he was saying, I wasn't crazy till I got here. Mm-hmm. And he was just saying, so then he going in and out. He would start talking to himself. You know, you see people around here doing that. Like, I was seeing him go into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going like, wow, it overtook him. You know, because when I went to Skid Row, I mean, I was like if I went to Skid Row in my addiction, I wouldn't be here right now.
Right.
I think some of them people are more stronger than what they know they are
right.
in certain ways.
Right.
And like, so we can wake them up so they can realize
right.
that. Because I was weak, because I was a, I was something. That's when I was drinking. I was being in Skid Row, but I was like, woo, this is a party. And I would have never came out.
But also, I am not saying that the people that have the mental illness need to be treated with pharmaceutical meds.
Right, okay.
I mean, there is alternative ways to do things, and that's what these wellness centers come in at.
Okay.
You know, this is what we need more of. They need therapeutic sessions and therapy to help them out at this time, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes the pharmaceutical companies, they like to push Ambien and different things and, you know,
maybe it's the residuals and kickbacks that they get.
Yes,
I think that's mainly what it is.
Yeah, you think that's what it is?
Yeah, well, I know that.
The residuals?
Well, I'll say this much. They have taken the science that's out there and they have converted it to meet the needs for their marketing or product production. So going back to the receptors, and I'm a science person.
Okay.
Right? You know, those keys are designed by the body within the brain.
Right.
And to be honest, Dr. Pert found that it's in the brain, the stomach, the muscles, and the skin, the endocrine gland system, and other major organs. So if you have someone who takes this great science that can help heal the body, and teach people what we all knew tribally. Mm-hmm. We all knew how to heal our bodies tribally. If you take that information and then you convert it to a commercial use and you create drugs by using petroleum-based products and you create those drugs so that they become the keys that lock into the molecular cells of the body,
beautiful.
You can then change how a person thinks, acts, and behaves. And that's what they've done. If you look at how they're advertising these quote-unquote psychiatric drugs now, they're telling you to go and ask your doctor for those drugs. They're telling you how to do that. The doctors right now, they're not trained in botany anymore. They're not trained in chemistry anymore.
Right.
They're not trained in nutrition anymore.
Beautiful.
What they're actually being done now is they're creating little industries within an industry. So you've got now all of these people who are being trained in nutrition, all of these people being trained in chemistry, and the people being trained in the pharmaceutical studies. And then they are the ones that the doctors are now supposed to go to and say, I have a patient taking this, 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 and this. Can I give this patient this medication? So the doctors aren't even being trained anymore to know how to look at their patients and see the whole person that's sitting in front of them. So the pharmaceutical companies are taking advantage of that, and they are nice and politely creating these drugs that lock into the receptors, creating an artificial opiate within the body, and then taking the body completely out of where it needs to be.
Wow.
Man.
I was taken around the city of Los Angeles and shown the numerous towers that they have placed in the city. And these towers are designed to alter your frequencies in your body. And because we're made of frequencies, they're able to shift the frequencies at a level would make you schizo, would make you feel hungry, would make you feel sad, depressed, would make you crave sex or become very aroused. These frequencies, however they shift them, has a profound effect on your body. And when I experienced that because I lived in Altadena, and every time I would drive down the 110 freeway and get near Arcadia and coming into LA, I would get a craving, a hunger craving. And I just ate before I left home. So I said, why am I so hungry? And I, you know, shared that with him. And he was saying, let me show you what's going on. He took me all around the city. There are numerous of towers put into place. And that's one of the things that they're doing, are able to control your frequencies. That's your thinking, your behavior, and what have you. This is why we have these health centers. And we're encouraging people to get back into the natural, holistic approach. We have essential oils that do address the frequencies in the body and can align your frequencies back up, keep you balanced. We have magnets that you can wear. Once upon a time, we used all of these instruments and elements and products on our bodies to balance our bodies and to keep us naturally intact without pharmaceuticals. And we're just trying to urge others to take a look at their go inside of themselves and start doing a self-analysis and get back to the natural, get back to the holistic approach. Wow. That way they don't have the side effects that they're getting from the pharmaceuticals, you know, medications mm-hmm. and what have you. We have all sorts of remedies, natural holistic remedies.
Remedies, yes.
Yes, that you can take to keep yourself in a line and balance with this frequency shift going on. Mm.
You know, we've been having a full moon for the last past 4 days.
Yeah.
So I was doing some moon gazing, and I looked up and, you know, I noticed that there was chemtrails in the sky around 10 o'clock at night. I was like, wow. You know, they're actually, I mean, these things that are being put into place.
Working overtime.
They're working overtime. So I seen the chemtrails, but then I seen the great moon just shining on the chemtrails, like, no, you're not. So it was like a battle that was going on. But I just like, I mean, do we ever look up anymore to see what's going on in the sky? And like you said, pay attention to these towers that are up, and why do they have so many antennas and different things like that? We have to be conscious of these things that are going on. You know, it's happening now in our community.
Right, definitely. You know, being conscious is the most important thing that you can do for yourself in today's time. And I'm only saying that because I make sure that, well, I do my best in making sure that I'm conscious. So that even just comes with the statements that you may say daily. You know, when you start repeating statements to yourself and you start to find out, I can't believe I've been saying this for like 25 years, right? So these are the things that we say repetitively, right? That locks us into some type of gauge or box. You know, they're actually spells, you know, and we need to see them as spells, right? Because what are spells? You know, letters put together forming words, words put together forming sentences, paragraphs, and thus you have a book locked into a spell. So what I want to say is that we are talking about frequencies, which is a very powerful thing. There's a brilliant story about a man. You learn this in a 101 psychology class about the man who laughed cancer out of his body. You know, so how did this man do that without any pharmaceuticals, you know?
Right.
And these are the wonderments of the body and how the body works. So this man, he just says, okay, if I'm going to go, right, I'm going to basically laugh myself to death. So while he did that, he created these powerful endorphins in his body that eradicated the cancer-causing agent. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a breakthrough. You see?
Yeah.
So if they took that aspect and they marketed that, would there be anything such as cancer or even pharmaceutical companies, man? But the thing is, how did he do it? How did he do it? So I'm listening to all of the brilliant minds, and yes, once you engage with yourself and you know who you are, you can reverse conditions. You know, that comes in eating right. You know, that comes in with getting rid of the chemtrails, you know, and just getting into yourself with the proper thoughts, which is the proper medicine, you know, not medication, but medicine. Definitely. Yeah. And so the sister spoke about the towers, you know, the different towers giving out all these crazy frequencies. So thus we have something called Hollywood, and we have something called MK Ultra, which is this mind-controlling program that's implemented through the industry of Hollywood, which was formerly known as Paperclip at one time. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a brainwashing aspect that's going on, and the pharmaceutical industry is definitely the backbone of that. And there's a brilliant museum that everyone, I think, who's in concern of the mental illness is located right there on Sunset. I believe it's Sunset in Wilcox, and it's about the history of pharmaceutical medicine, and you will be surprised.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes, and all of us need to go in there and look, and I'm sure that when we come out, some of us will be in tears. That's just how sad it is.
Yeah, I wanted to add to what he was saying, because this is so powerful. I just finished a 21-day thought detox. And the science behind that, it's dealing again with a neuroscientist. Mm-hmm. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's out of Australia.
Oh.
And what she actually did is she, over about 25 years, discovered, doing autopsies on brains, that there's certain thoughts create certain proteins.
Oh, boy.
So the there's a thin, wiry black protein that she was able to connect to negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fluffy, light, pink-colored protein that she was able to connect to positive thoughts.
Mm.
And what those do, going back again to the molecular receptors, is that they actually give the body and the mind what it, the communication it needs through the hormones and the endorphins to send to the other cells in the body.
Yes.
Okay. And if you're creating negative thoughts, those stringy, almost wiry-like mm-hmm. proteins
yes.
are ending up in your cellular makeup.
Mm.
And they're producing very bad cells. The cells have the ability to live different life cycles. The one that I tend to deal with the most is the blood cells because they live out to be 120 days.
Wow.
So if your body is going through very healthy process and you're producing negative thoughts,
right.
you're actually locking in those proteins
yes.
to your bloodstream that's informing the rest of the organs in your body.
Mm.
If you are using the positive thoughts and creating fluffy, light proteins, then you're locking in positive receptors into your cells that are creating healthy cells that live out their cycle. So the body has its own way of addressing a lot of things. We just need to learn more about our own bodies and then practice it from then on.
Okay, okay. Well, all right, well, before we go any further, we're going to take like a nice little short break and we'll come right back with all this great information.
All right.
Is illness, is it real or is it fake? All right, we're back. We're back. We got a new, fresh crew, a few people in here right now. And like I said, we're on the topic of mental illness. is it real or is it fake? Is that something they all set up just to make some money with? So so while we got a little time, I'm going to go ahead and introduce a few of our new crew that just came on in. So we'll start right in the middle right here.
Well, it's Manuel Benito Campito, a.k.a. OG from Skid Row, representing California Institute of Mental Health.
Right on. All right. And on the end over here, who we got?
My name is Jonathan Alviso. I work with the Bully Me Now campaign, as well as with BobbyBuck.com and Ducksworth Housing.
All right.
My name is Angelica Maradiaga, and I'm here to discuss
Make sure you get in the mic.
And I am here to discuss about the mental illness.
Okay, all right, okay. And the next to my left.
Hello, sorry I'm late. I'm Shauna Sterling, co-founder of the Bully Me Now campaign and partnership with BobbyBuck.com.
All right, you can go to the right in front of me. Okay, all right, now, so we're going to get back on this topic, what we was speaking on, and I'm going to let you go back to what you're talking about with the receptors and everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, where I left off.
Okay.
Yeah, for those of you that weren't able to catch it, what I was talking about was a neuroscientist by the name of Dr. Caroline Leaf, who has done about 20-some years of study on the thoughts and how what type of proteins the thoughts actually create in the brain. And she has a scientific proof, and she's written numerous papers, on how if you are creating negative thoughts, you're creating a dark, wiry protein, and that's ending up on the brain. Mm. If you are creating positive thoughts, you're creating a light, fluffy protein. And those proteins inform the rest of the cells in your body. So they create little keys that lock into the receptors of each cell. So you have to really be in control of yourself and of your mind and how you think and what you're thinking about and how you're conducting yourself on a day-to-day basis. Mm. And that's something that we all have the ability to do.
So that's something, I like that already.
So that's something like they say 21 days to break a habit or something like that. It takes 21 days. So you got to keep that thought process.
Yeah. The name of her book is called Switch On Your Brain. The key to peak happiness, thinking, and health. But she is a neuroscientist and a pharmacologist. Mm. I'm going to need my notes. I'll give it to you.
We're afterwards.
I want to show the picture.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
She is a neuroscientist and a pharmacologist, as well as I spoke about Dr. Candace Pert, who is also a neuroscientist and a pharmacologist. And they both have been spending their time, unfortunately Dr. Pert has passed, but they both have been spending their time and their professional careers understanding how the body works, how the mind and the body work together. And they're brilliant scientists. And there's another scientist I've been studying is Dr. Masato Emoto. And he actually is a Japanese scientist and an alternative health physician who studied how the water in our body, which is also in our cells, 98%, how it's affected by our thoughts. So there's a lot of good information and science out there, but we as lay people need to learn to pick up a book and read and start practicing it because we have the control over what happens to ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
That's some real deep stuff right there. Yeah, I like that. But something I always wanted to know myself right now is, and anybody can answer this, what's the difference between your brain and your mind? Is that a difference, or is it the same thing, or is it a play on words? I'm just curious.
Doctor's opinion. Your brain is a muscle.
But was that the part of the mind, brain, and the mind?
The mind is the function of the brain.
The mind is the function of the brain.
You like that? Huh?
That's why I always try to get to the
Phil here.
You had to break it on down to knowledge. Yeah, so, and what do you think about what the mental illness on Skid Row? First, you want to say anything about what happened
but
with Africa?
I like what she said because it goes back to what we think of positive, we got a positive movement, we got to have positive energy, positive thinking.
Yeah.
And I believe in all of that. I'm 100 with that. We do not use, me and you went to exercise before about not using all your brain.
Right.
Okay, you remember that, right? But I wanted to address again, you know, what's going on in Skid Row because of mental illness. This is a 50-block radius where the primary occupants are mentally ill. And you got police departments that's not trained in mental health. I'm a mental health advocate and trained in mental health, okay? And so, you know, we got a lot of problems. You know, we went through this study with Dr. Woods about the disparities in mental health, misconception of mental health, and how the mental health system has all these viewpoints that's all together way out there. They're not even in touch with reality. Because, well, how could, if you was in Beverly Hills police, you would know the Beverly Hills residents. You wouldn't rush into no Beverly Hills house shooting up nobody. Right. You would be trained how to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and go into their house. Okay?
Yeah.
So why aren't you trained in a mental health when the community is totally mentally health? Okay, so of course, if you're not trained in mental health and you see somebody crawling through a window, he's a criminal.
Right.
The police concept of everybody that's mentally ill is criminal.
Right, right.
You're walking in the middle of the street. You're doing with every action and behavior is criminal to the law enforcement agency.
Not only just law enforcement, it also in the educational department, so everything.
You got a mental health facility inside Skid Row with mental health workers who are scared to come out and engage the population without a police escort. Now, how you, as a mental health worker, going to walk up on a mental health page talking about, can I help you, with a police right there with you? Because the last time they seen the police, they went up to Twin Towers. Why? Because they've been criminalized.
Right, right.
Okay? And that's one of the big problems. So in this particular incident, you know, they just got through shooting off a mental health patient off a big old billboard.
Yeah.
He climbed up on a big old billboard. You know he got to be high. And they shot him with beam, but he fall up and die. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
his
activities is criminal to them. But you got a call saying a robbery suspect. First, the keyword is suspect.
Right, right.
Now, we need to hear that call. That's why I'm here today. We're demanding to hear that 911 call. What put the police in a frame of mind? They had to feel the urgency, because you know the population is mentally ill.
Yeah.
We got to rush out of the police with 5 or 6, 10 cops and drag a man out of the tent. They said he came out fighting. Watch the video. They drug him out. That's like somebody running in your house. If the police run in your house today, are you just going to let them drag you out without fighting?
Well, first, they're not going to run into a structured building like that.
Oh, they do. But they're supposed to have a search warrant.
Yeah, a search warrant.
So
right.
If a man is in a tent, I'm saying he wasn't going nowhere. The tent is surrounded.
Right.
He can't go nowhere. What is the urgency? You said robbery suspect. What did he rob? To this day, can any of you tell me what he robbed?
No.
But he dead. The man is dead. A mentally ill man is dead, and the public don't even want to know what he robbed. Then they turn around and tell me, well, he robbed a bank 14 years ago. You didn't know he was 14 years ago when you came over there? Oh, well, he's on parole, violator. You didn't know that before he got over there?
Right.
So why did you go?
That's right.
With that much urgency and pull him out to, well, you had to jeopardize to kill him. You already know he's mentally ill, he in a tent.
Right, right.
Ain't too many normal people living in tents.
Right.
It's not normal to live in a tent or sleep on the street. It's not normal at all.
Right.
So why did you go down there to mess with a mentally ill person at the risk of having to kill him? Hmm. And then we got top cop Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you call Deion Joseph?
Right.
What was the urgency to arrest this suspect? And it says suspect. We don't even know the right person. So where was the victim?
Wow.
If you rob a bank, they're going to go get the victim and bring him right there. Is this a person? They're going to ask him, where's the victim? We don't even know what he robbed or who the victim is. But he's dead.
Supposedly the victim is that tent, the person in the tent that was living, that was right there by him, supposedly.
We need to hear that. We need to know that.
Did they question him?
Him, her, I don't know.
Right. Right, yeah.
Supposedly the call came from the tent, the person in the tent. So that the was person, next.
So we
to
need
him.
To know this.
Right.
We know, because when you look at the video, you see him just is tearing up another tent next to him.
Supposedly that was the person who called.
And that's a robbery?
Right.
That's a robbery where you have to kill a person?
Right.
A mentally ill person. We talking about a person that's mentally ill.
Well, I feel that they escalated that issue because the man was already upset. Mental ill or not mental ill, he was already, the problem was already escalated. Well, and then it made it worse when they went into his home. Let's not use the word tent anymore. Let's use the word home. When he went into that man's home and drug him out, that just put what? More fuel to the fire.
Right. But prior to that, what, 2 weeks ago, the same police was down at the park talking to me crazy.
You. Yep.
Patting on his gun. Patting on his gun. You see the video? Yeah. Go on my site. I can prove who you are. Patting on his gun. We already knew he was going to kill somebody and get killed.
Right.
And he was a rookie being trained by the other one that pulled him out. He was training him. He pulled him out. You know, this is the training officer. Showing him what to do. And then it's the same one that dropped his gun. One that was patting on his gun. He might be the one dropping the patting under fire. So again, I'm here to say, you know, in that response, that should no police officer, I ain't talking about no smart unit. No officers working downtown in Central Virginia should be down if they ain't trained in mental health.
Well, then that means they is no the police department.
They need to go.
None of them are trained to deal with mentally ill.
They don't even need to be there. Don't even ride around. Don't even ride through the 50 blocks if you're not trained in mental health.
I agree. Right. You know, the topic today is mental illness, right?
Right.
And there's definitely an illness going on through these agencies of authority.
I agree. I think of the illness within them, too.
Definitely. I mean, let's talk about it. We're going to put it all on the table today. So, I'm going to address this thing that's going on with the LAPD. We're all familiar with Donna, right? The brother who did what he did, I believe that was two years ago.
Yeah, right?
My type of police.
Now, this is showing you the psychology of how what the LAPD is operating on. In Donna's manifesto, right, which was several pages long, right, what he mentioned in his manifesto was how agents, a.k.a. police officers, are dying to get to the city of L.A. just so they can exercise the trigger finger, right? So knowing this, right? This is the psychology of what's floating in the minds of, I would say, what? 50%? Let's deal with 50% for now. I'm sure the Nate. I'm not going to say that. But this is the psyche of the man behind the gun while things are going on in front of him. So instead of pulling out the beanbag, you know, I just heard I saw on TV like 2 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. There was this man of another structured hue, right, who came around the corner with an axe in his hand, raging psycho. This happened in Hollywood. And you know how they dealt with him? They pulled out the beanbags. And then hit him with the beanbags. And you know what? He's still living in the Twin Towers somewhere. So what I'm saying, in Donna's manifesto, he spoke about the psyche of the LAPD as how they come to this city wanting to get kills under their belt. And once they get the kills under their belt, they go around the city and they compare how many of them have the goriest pictures as far as the murder scenes that happen all throughout L.A. County. This is a real situation that's still going on today. And if you need to be reminded of it, just read Donna's manifesto. So when we see these officers walking down what? Skid Row, which to them is like taking baby from a candy. You see when I'm taking candy from a baby, right? Yeah. This is what happens, you see, because this is why they're out there, to exercise that thought, that psychological thought of putting a man down.
Catching the bad guy.
Hey, I mean, you know, this is what it is. We didn't write the book. I'm only reading it and just watching.
Right.
Just being an observer, you see. And another reason why they're not going to run up in Beverly Hills is because the bottom line is a money issue.
Money.
You see? It's a money issue. And like they said in Ferguson, we are now labeled as something called warehouse tickets. Mm-hmm. So if you're sleeping on dead row and you're not generating any income for yourself, you know what? The state knows how to.
Make some money.
The state knows how to generate income on that brother just sitting there on the corner, or that sister. Ask them how they got there. And like the sister said, we need training. I mean, where's the sensitivity at? It says, you know, protect and serve, right? Well, my question is, who are we protecting and serving? The people? Okay, they're people too. Yeah, let's do what we need to do and stand up and lead by example.
Well, I know one of the things that's concerned me with all of this, and I'm taking off my scientific hat and I'm putting on my political hat, there appears to me, and I've watched this for over 20-some years, to be a well-planned master plan of culling the population. Now, if any of you have ever hunted or you've ever been around where there's a huge problem for ranchers, and I'm going to quote ranchers, when the wolf packs get too big, the first thing they want to do is thin them out.
Right.
If the deer herds get too large, the first thing they want to do is thin them out. And I just have this gut feeling that's been bothering me for 20-some years with everything that I have seen, and I've lived back east and come back across to the West Coast, is a concerted effort to cull the population. And where would you start first? You will start with what you would consider to be the weakest people, mm-hmm. and that would be the people who are in a homeless condition.
Right.
And my question and my concern for that is, when we see the police officers making these decisions, which are really coming off of a place of adrenaline, is what did you really go in there to do? Because in order for you to mentally look at somebody else and decide that that person is now the other, and they no longer have a human aspect to them, that you can just take them out. All of us were traumatized when we watched that video. That image is in our minds. It's in our brains. And we now sat and watched another human being being murdered.
Murdered.
Because he was down, he was tased, and we were forced to watch that. But my concern is the adrenaline that was flooding through those police officers' bodies, the way it was, that they made that decision, that's a problem. Because that's someone that is mentally ill in my own personal view, and they were not dealing with their frontal lobe, which has the ability to help you figure out first what you need to do before you actually act on a thought that just came through your mind. He didn't use that. He did not use that. And that's what all of us as human beings have the ability to do.
Well, in response to that, they're trained to recognize criminals.
That's he wasn't a criminal, though.
But their brain, what she's saying, their brains automatically see criminal, okay? They tell you, just a brief moment, quick second decision, criminal. That's what you ever see when in the little movies, the little posters come up and they be shooting at them? Right.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how they look at it. Or that was a little baby, right. I ain't supposed to shoot the baby, or the duck. They got him like that. It's training. So he's operating off his training. And no police go to a police academy to become a social worker. Or a mental, they don't go there. They go to do what you say, to shoot. Okay? And I just found this out. Do you know today there are more blacks in prison than there was in slavery?
That's heavy.
That's real, too.
We can get even deeper than that. Do you know, even with the wars going on, that it's more of our soldiers committing suicide than dying on the battlefield, behind psych meds.
Hey, now, you know what? It's so funny because, you know, we have a different perspective on the homeless, we got the homeless coalition here, it's obviously people that's out there on the block is not scared of the police.
Yeah.
Okay. But they suffer from the same effects that soldiers do when they come back, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about soldiers that haven't even gone over there, that they give them a label here because they take a human emotion that they're going through, because it's like, oh, I might have to leave my family, so they get stressed out or they start having problems sleeping, and then they go be forced to go seek help, and when they come from that help, they have what they call a cocktail. A cocktail is two or more psych meds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because of the side effects of those psych meds, they end up committing suicide. So I'm just saying, the numbers are from them, not the ones that's not even going over to fight. Damn. And that's sad. our soldiers are not even going over to fight, and they're being labeled, and they're committing suicide. We have more soldiers committing suicide that has not been on the battlefield behind psych meds.
Damn, boy.
Than the ones that have gone over there.
Well, that's a pharmaceutical there, you know, because it's kind of ironic. If you was over in Afghanistan, Vietnam, anywhere right there, and you was sleeping in a tent and taking drugs, and you ain't got no problem over there in war taking some drugs. You get all the drugs you want.
Right.
No problem. Everybody coming back on drugs. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right.
They going over there.
Yeah, but you go, you out there on Skid Row in a tent, and you on drug, and oh, you're the worst thing around. He'll run up in there and kill you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, but the pharmaceuticals, you know, and you all you got to do is turn your TV on, late night show, and they talking about zero, all of them giving you brain damage, drugs they gave you.
Yeah.
For bipolar. Mm-hmm. Now you got nosebleed, heart attack, and liver gone.
Right. But I'm gonna tell you this: a lot of people don't know. When I went to I was a bad on alcohol, but I went to the rehab one time. They put me on something called Trazodone. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about that type of stuff. And I was telling this lady what they had me on. She said, they gave you that many milligrams? I said, yeah. She said, that's horse tranquilizer. And I'm still walking around. But what I did, I started taking them Trazodone. I said, I'm in the rehab. I'm not drinking, but I can take these and get drunk without the smell. So I'll take Trazodone, go out there just doing my thing. But then what happened, they started getting immune to those. So I took Trazodone and beer. Then that one doing, I said Trazodone, beer, and liquor. And then next thing you know, I was ready to go kill myself. I didn't recognize that till I got here. I thought that was me, but that was the mixture of my own cocktail.
Yep, that was a cocktail.
And I tried to take my, but I tell you, it's a
Bobby
joke in
Buck
there.
Cocktail.
Yeah, but I tell people what happened, I got too drunk to commit suicide. So that, I go walk in front of a train, and the train hit me, take me off. Uh-huh. What happened, I went and got me a half gallon of cheap whiskey, uh-huh, a 30-pack of beer, and I had my Trazodone. Then next thing I know, I got too drunk, and they found me laying in there naked, and I ended up going to a psych unit instead.
Wow.
Yep, so that's a real story, but I can do it in a humorous way because right. I made it through. But
yeah,
I'm like,
you made it through. You,
yeah.
That's your testimony, you know?
Yeah, man, cause I was like, woo. But like I say, them psych meds ain't no joke, and they talking about crack.
Well, you know, that's the other thing, too. You know, when we were going through the training and everything, we're dealing with disparities in mental health, okay?
Yeah.
And Dr. Woods and other doctors point out, most especially with black people, like way older than like, my mama and my grandma. When you see somebody, that was like old Uncle Robert laying over there, you know, doing all kind of weird stuff. We just kind of overlook the people in our family right. that do stuff. Right. You know, put them in the back room. Yeah. Send his food
put them in the back room.
Yeah. We did take care of our mentally ill
people. Right.
That's one thing we did.
Yeah, without meds, though. Right.
Without right. meds. That's without another meds. Thing, too. Because, see, that's what I'm saying. So the mental health department and the pharmaceuticals is all tied in, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because you can get that stuff. It's all about money.
Money.
They're because very eager to have you medicated.
Yeah, you might have to go see the witch doctor.
I have a personal story myself. From a very young age, doing kid things, being very destructive. They taught me karate, so I was trying to break things all the time. My mom decided to enroll me in therapy, and these were the exact words the psychiatrist had said. It is too early. It is not medically possible for you to diagnose a child with bipolar syndrome. I was medicated at 12 years old.
Okay, I got one on you. My daughter was medicated at 3.
Damn.
Whoa.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they're very eager to medicate us all. Yeah. The moment I turned 18, I was like, take me off. Take me off. I've been fine ever since. Those things will change you. And
yeah.
they had
oh, yeah.
five, six different medications. I had a medication box about this big.
And they keeping records on you, too, huh?
Yeah.
And they sending them records to the pharmaceuticals.
And that'll affect my job experience in the future.
But that's what they do. It reminds me of the whole mental health system reminds me like Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That's how they think. You're just making up stuff. You know what I mean? You know, they don't tell you till 10 years later, you know, your penis is going to fall off.
Yeah.
Your toes going to fall off. Your butthole gone.
You're like, why you let me know?
One eye gone. You know, either side of it or either side of it.
They went to you all the way in there and didn't let you know. man.
So, but there are natural remedies.
Yeah.
You know, there's natural herbs. There's all kind of other stuff. that you can take, you know, for your mental health. You know what I'm saying? But but the pharmaceutical and Medicare don't want to pay for that.
No, right. They don't want you to know
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
The funny thing is the Greek, the Latin root for pharma is actually the study of poisons. So the pharmaceutical companies are putting poison in your body.
I like that.
That was good.
Right on the nose.
That's a lot of information. You know these doctors, there's two guys that actually wear white long coats, you know. One is a doctor and the other guy is a butcher, right? Mm-hmm. So now when you think about it, when we say the word doctor, I'm just thinking about the words that we say and when you put them in a certain context, what they look like. So you say the word a doctor to yourself, right? And then you say to yourself a doctored paper. What does a doctored paper look like? You know, it's probably taped up, you know, but it doesn't look like it's something that's put together pretty well is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it's a doctored paper, right? So now here we have a doctor, and you said poison. So doctors specialize in something called cut, burn, and poison. How do we know that? Chemotherapy is based on a burning aspiration, correct? Cutting, you know, operations, cutting you open. And like you said, poison, which are the pharmaceuticals that we take, right? So when we actually see that butcher with the white coat on, right? Rather the doctor with the white coat, he's actually the butcher.
Yeah.
You just don't see the clean aspect of the blood all over the place. Right. You know, but when you break the word doctor down and you look at it in the dictionary, it starts to comply with the quote-unquote treatments that they administer to the people.
Right.
Which is basically chopping you up, cutting you up, burning you up, but they just make it look pretty through the stitches. But inside, man, we're wrecks. So when we look at Frankenstein and things of that nature, we're actually looking at the process that they perform on our bodies.
Right.
Wow, man.
And I want to add, because I was so glad that you brought this book in, the Ritalin abuse. Ritalin is a form of meth.
Mm. Yes.
It's a form of meth.
I have one more that I couldn't find enough of on prescription drugs.
And the thing that's so scary is by them putting you on it at age 3, and we're going to go back to this receptors as the molecular function of the body. Mm-hmm. They are training your cells to want that.
Right.
They are conditioning the cells to want that product.
Right.
And if you can't get it this way, you can get it on the street.
Right.
And if you can't, if it's not working for you in terms of what was going on in the Skid Row area, where people are self-medicating, they're trying to fix their own health issues. They're actually wanting something that they've been conditioned to want. That's why I said we have to learn about our own bodies and learn about the natural pharmaceuticals that our body can produce from within to help us at a cellular and a molecular level.
Hey, I tell you what, that's what I can't wait. We got to do this show again because we're about out of time, maybe about a minute or two left and everything. And but there's a lot of great information from this one show right here that we can really take with us for a long
time.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody just need to check this show out for sure. But anyway, if anybody want to go ahead and leave your name and who you are, and we're going to get out of here in just a few seconds.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want you to go to www.operationfaceliftskidrow.web.com. You know, we're going to be dealing with the Homeless Coalition.
Okay.
And a lot of other stuff. So,
all right.
Get at it.
I'm Carol Hill. I am a member of the American Institute of Stress. I also work to teach people how to nourish their body at a cellular level with Soul Purpose Daily and 90 for Life.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Peace and love, peace and love. Eddie Lamont, sports, the fastest man in L.A. when dealing with the radio, baby, and you can look forward to Super Force Radio coming to SkidRowLive.com studios.
Skid Row Studio.
Yes, and I am the co-host of Superforce Radio, Tasha Alsett. You can contact me, or if you have any questions, inbox me on Facebook, Tasha Alsett, and listen for my poetry. I put this information into poetry so I can take it to the youth.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Jonathan Alviso. I'm working with Shauna Sterling and the Bully Me Now campaign, and I'll just turn the mic over to her so she can give you further details about that.
Thank you.
Take it away.
I have three of my people here actually from the Bully Me Now. My name is Shauna Sterling. The Bully Me Now will be a 10-week program ending in a fashion show held by the youth that we will be helping. You can get more information on my blog, which is detentionroom101.blogspot. And we're also trying to raise funds so we can get that venue going and the things that we need. My phone number is 323-556-1740. To you, Buck.
All right. There y'all have it now. A nice and powerful show with some great information. And as you know, this is Bobby Buck from BobbyBuck.com. And we out.
Log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Log on, log on, log on, log on, log on, log on to BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com.